Welcome back, everyone.
I'm Nicole.
And I'm Crystal. You're listening to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
A podcast where we talk about legends and paranormal stories, sprinkled with true crime, extraterrestrial, and the like.
A little disclaimer, we're not professionals, we're not historians, we just love everything scary.
If you haven't already, which you should have, subscribe to and review this podcast.
So on this episode, I am without my partner, Crystal, but I do have a special guest. Las Brujas and Friends would like to present to the audience our very first fan, OG Marth, aka Martha.
Thank you so much for having me, OG Marth.
All right, Marth, so let us know what you have, what you're going to bring to Las Brujas and Friends.
So today I'm going to be telling you guys about my sleep paralysis story, which is actually stories because it actually started happening to me over the course of a couple of years. So this one might be a long one. It gets pretty spooky because I don't know, it's kind of spiritual, but I don't know if it's a psychological thing. You have to just, once I'm done with the story, you can decide on your own what you think it was. But I'm excited for you guys to hear this. Hopefully I can go to sleep tonight.
Right? Ooh, I got chills already. So go ahead. Give us the backstory. When did you start encountering sleep paralysis?
It actually happened after I turned 18. I started having a couple of experiences. So a little bit of like backstory. So before I even, just to start it off, is because when I was younger, my mom was in a car accident. I was like 10 years old. I guess when I was 18, I had my first experience involved seeing my mom before her car accident. So what happened was I had gotten my wisdom teeth taken out and I was taking, I think they gave me hydrocodone or something like that. Yeah, they gave me some pain pills.
Painkillers,
like,
yeah.
Yes, I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm in pain. Let me take some. And I was taking them for like 2 or 3 days. But on the third day when I started taking it is when it kind of really freaked me out. And I swore to never do painkillers again. It was because I was sleeping. So I was recovering after my wisdom teeth removal at my sister's house. And I was staying on the couch there. And at this point, she was in school and I was just at home alone in the living room. And I remember vividly, this is my first experience ever. I remember that I can see like the sun kind of going down and I was like, you know, maybe I should turn on the lights just so it doesn't get creepy beforehand. But I was like, you know what? No, I'm fine. Like I was never really a superstitious person. I'm very like, okay, the dark is the dark. It's fine.
Yeah.
I was like drifting in and out of sleep. Like I was out of it. I remember I was laying there and she was like an L-shaped couch. I was like on the L part or the end of it where so my head was on the like the backrest and then my feet were extended out. And so when I was sleeping, I remember I just kind of started like, I was drifting off and then I just remember hearing voices. Like I remember hearing like very faint, like far away, distant voices, like saying, help. Like it was like, it couldn't really make it out, but it sounded like someone was saying like, help me. But it was so many voices that I couldn't really distinguish one until I kind of started focusing on one voice. It was the voice of a man. I remember he sounded very frantic and he was like just asking me, he was like, please help me. Like, I need help. Like, I need you to contact my family and let them know what happened to me. And I was like, I don't know who your family is. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. Like, who are you? I got this feeling out of nowhere that I was like, wait, like this, am I dreaming? Like what's going on?
Yeah.
And that's when I realized that I couldn't move my body. I was paralyzed, but I heard this voice and it sounded so real next to me. And I was like, what is going on? Like I could feel a presence like around me in a sense. I just kept hearing this voice. And like, I kind of was like, I was getting a little bit overwhelmed and I was kind of freaking out. I remember just kind of feeling like, okay, like how do I wake up? Like I was trying to yell for my sister's name. I was like, but she wasn't there. And I just felt like immobile out of nowhere. I just like, all the voices just stopped. It just completely like shut down. And I felt this presence behind me. It was almost like I was experiencing an out-of-body experience beforehand. And then once all the voices stopped, I was back in my body and I was like sleeping there, just like with my eyes shut, looking forward, like facing forward. So I finally opened up my eyes and I looked up and I saw my mom, but it was my mom before her car accident. It was a younger version of her. It was so crazy because it was like, I can tell it was a different her. And she just looked sad. And she was trying to tell me something, but I don't know what she was trying to say. And then I just woke up. And I was like, I think that was kind of what jolted me awake, just because I was like so shocked that why would I see my mom? And I was crying. I was bawling my eyes out. First, I was like, I'm never taking painkillers again. Like,
yeah, right? What kind of stuff is this?
I was like, are you sure you gave me hydrocodone? Because that
is
bad.
That's a hallucinogenic right now.
It just freaked me out because when my mom had her car accident, she did change a lot after. She suffered extensive brain damage. And she was put in a medically induced coma for 6 months. Kind of made me just wonder if it was maybe the old her. But again, I'm not really spiritual, so I kind of disregarded it. I remember telling my sister, but after that I was like, it was probably just the drugs. There was a reason for it. After that, I didn't really...
Let me pause you really quick. Go back. So while you got your wisdom teeth removed, did your mom at that exact time period get in a car accident? Or was this like months later she got in a car accident?
No. So my mom got in the car accident when I was 10 years old, and the wisdom teeth extraction was when I was 18. So it was years later. So this is like completely, that's why it was kind of random, because it wasn't like it was something fresh or something that happened. It was like a whole lot of time after. So that was my first experience. And that's when I kind of started doing research on it, just to see what exactly happened to me and kind of like, has it happened to someone else? Because I was like, I can't be alone. I was like, am I getting possessed? Like, what? So I started kind of doing research on it. And that's when I kind of discovered that sleep paralysis is, it happens when you're either about to drift off to sleep or when you're about to wake up from sleep. And basically your body is shut down, but your brain is still awake. So that's kind of, a lot of people had experienced hallucinations, they experienced different stories and just different circumstances. So I think after doing the research and seeing that, I was like, okay, you know, it was the drugs. Like, obviously, right? I was really tired. I was just like dozed off. And so maybe that was what got me there. But then it happened to me again. This one was actually probably a year and a half later. This one was really short. It didn't really happen to me that long. I had came back from a trip with one of my roommates, and it was late. It was like 2 a.m. And I think that kind of scared me a little bit more, because you know how bedtime is like 3 a.m. I was like, I need to be in bed before 3 a.m. We both just got our stuff down from the car and we knocked out right away. Like within 2 minutes, I was asleep. And this one happened really, really fast. Like, I remember just, I guess, like my body kind of just like, you know, when you kind of relax and you sink into your bed, I remember that feeling. And then I remember kind of falling asleep, but I was still, I guess, like hearing things outside. So I was like hearing noises, just kind of focusing on that to help me drift off. But then I remember just like chills running over my body and feeling a presence in my room, in the corner of my room. And this one was kind of more of an out of body experience. It was more like I could see that it was a dark figure across the room, and it was just like encased in shadows. Like that was it. Like I could just tell it was huge and it was in the corner of my room. I remember just kind of being like, what, like who is this guy? And then I also remember hearing voices again, but this time it was coming outside of my window. And it sounded like they were trying to like shout at me, like again, like trying to talk to me. And I don't know why I had this feeling that these were voices of people who were no longer living. Like it felt like the same situation where they're kind of saying like, they were trying to tell me, like send a message. Like they were trying to tell me to like try to send messages for them, reach out to whoever they wanted to send that message to.
Right. So
at this point, I'm like freaking out because I feel like this person is there and like they haven't really made a move. And then I don't know where I'm just like, I wake up like this. And it's because my roommate comes into my room and she's like screaming, like crying. She's like, Martha, Martha, like, why didn't you like, why were you in my room? Like yelling my name. And I was like, I wasn't in your room. I'm like, I'm sleeping here. Like, you see me. She's like, you don't understand. Like, someone was in the room with me. Someone was like trying to like push down on my chest, and they were like yelling. And I was like, what? Like in my mind, I was like, I just had the same experience, like of someone feeling in my room and hearing voices. And then she experiences, but I didn't want to scare her because it was already late. It was almost through. It was like 2:45. And I was like, I'm not going to bring up any scary things right now. So I was like, it's fine. Like just sleep with me. Like she just ended up laying down next to me. She kind of experiencing it a little bit. She almost experienced it again, but then I kind of saw her like stiffen up a little bit and I grabbed her and she kind of woke up and she's like, I don't want to sleep. I don't want to sleep. And I was like, no, it's fine. Like, just like calm down. Like I'm here. Like none of that was real. And we ended up going to sleep, and we were both, we never really talked about it after that, just because it was just weird. Like, we just didn't want to, we didn't know what happened to it. Like, cause usually I'm used to it. Like, it had happened to me before, but she had never experienced anything like that. So I was like, okay, this is kind of getting weird. And that's kind of when I started doing a little bit more in-depth research and kind of just like finding out some of like the scary stories too, of like what people say things they think happen to them. And that's when like I saw things about like people seeing the Grim Reaper, like the old hag.
And so when you were in your room and you saw this dark figure, your eyes were open, or were you already starting to have that, like the drowsiness of you closing your eyes, but like, you know how like when your eyes get closed but they're not all the way closed, but you kind of like see something, like, or were you way open?
No, I was my eyes are closed. This was like a full-on like I out of body experience, because like it's like I was sleeping but I could I felt everything around me in the
room. Were aware. Yeah. And it was them calling out to you outside your window. It wasn't like before when you were saying they were asking for help. It was more of like, tell her or say this or let him know.
And it was muffled, and it was like, cause it can tell that it's like they were trying to like get in and like trying to like get closer to me so I can hear, but it was distorted. And the figure that I saw was standing right by the window of where I could hear these voices coming from.
Oh my God.
Yes, it was so creepy. And I mean, I've seen a lot of scary movies, so I was like, okay, this kind of reminds me of like a really bad setup. I always started praying. I was like, no, what is going on? Another thing too is, you know, coming from a Hispanic background, I feel like we sometimes really overanalyze our dreams, and we really have, I don't know, like my family has always been. Exactly. And my family has always been very sensitive to those kind of things. Or so they say, like, I sometimes like, I don't fully believe everything that they always tell me, because they sometimes say they have premonitions, or they've had experiences where someone has, like, that they dreamt someone died and then someone dies later on, or like so forth. I didn't really want to tell my family either, just because I felt like I didn't want them to make a bigger deal out of it and then say, oh, she needs to be cleansed and all these things, which I mean, cleanses are good anyways too, but I was like, let me just keep this to myself. Yeah. So those were the first two experiences that I vaguely remember, but they were kind of independent of each other. Like, they never really, like, it wasn't kind of how like my next experience was. My next experience was kind of a whole story background behind it. And this is the one that really like freaked me out and kind of messed me up for a couple of weeks. And I had to really get out of my head. Have you had it? First of all, have you ever experienced sleep paralysis?
The only sleep paralysis I've experienced, and I think it's just because the circulation of my limbs was cut off, restrained. Uh-huh. It's if I sleep with my arms over my head, or if I'm turned a specific way, my limbs become numb and I'm awake, but I can't move them up because the circulation isn't there. And that's all I've had with sleep paralysis. I've never had any experience with it, but like I have encountered where I feel a presence in a room, mm-hmm. and I know it isn't a happy presence. It is a dark presence. And in order for me to get rid of it, because of course your first instinct when you know it's a negative presence, the fear just sinks in, you get the chills, you get scared. So I tell myself, like, okay, don't allow that presence to overcome what you're feeling, because then that's only giving it energy to do something. So acknowledge it. All right, get out. And that's it.
That's kind of how I ended up getting out of it. I'll have to tell you what happened after everything that kind of I went through, because this one was pretty bad for me. So when this one happened, this one was my third time experiencing it. And this was about a year ago, maybe less than that, actually, because it happened to me around May. And these were all within the same week. It was just, kind of like, she hit the fan type of thing. Backstory for this one, my little sister passed away 3 years ago. I have dreams of her sometimes. They're usually pretty positive. Not that frequently, though. When I experienced this next sleep paralysis, it was random. Okay, so the first one was, this one I was already sleeping. And I remember I was having a really weird dream. My sister was in it. We were playing hide and seek, and we were in my house that I lived in at the time, and we were in my room. But I remember trying to find her and going out to the to the hallway and then to the different rooms to search for her. The rooms kept like morphing. They kept like transforming into different rooms, and it kept like the hallways kept like elongating, or it was almost like it was like a weird like maze. and I couldn't find her. But it was like a game. I remember slowly feeling like I was getting frustrated, because at first it was like I was like, I knew where she was. It started kind of, I don't know, I got scared. Like, I just started feeling like, okay, I'm keep going into this white room. Like, why am I in this all white room? It kind of reminded me of like a insane asylum, like when they put you in those padded like rooms. It felt like, you know, usually they say light stuff or like white stuff, it's like positive. No, it felt bad. Like, it felt like a really, like it wanted me in that, like something wanted me in that room and to stay there and not like just to focus on my thoughts. It's like it wanted me in my head. I remember I kept like looking for through other rooms to try to see if I got another room, but I kept going to this white room. And then I remember out of nowhere, like I started feeling that same chill again, like that presence was in the room with me. So it's like I was in two places at one time. I was like back in my room where I was actually physically sleeping in my bed, and that presence was there, the same one. And it felt exactly the same one for the last time I had my sleep paralysis, which was like 3 years before that. And then I was also still in my dream though. And it's like, I was trying to shift it. You know, I don't know what they call it. What do they call it when you're aware of your dream and you try to, it's like something, sleep something. And it's like, sometimes you can use it for positive. You can like shift your dream to be something like great. But it was not like, I wasn't able to transform this. So I was in my dream and I kept like going to the same thing. And at this point, my sister was out of the picture. And it was like almost like this figure, I could feel it trying to scare me. Like, it wanted me to feel like I was trapped and like it to feel like I was helpless. And then I remember I just woke up, and it was like 2 in the morning, 2 something when I woke up. I was freaking out. I was like, okay, I want to open my door just to make sure I'm not still dreaming. Like,
I'm in the right room.
I was like, let me look in the hallway and make sure it's my regular hallway and not some distorted one. But I was like, I just kind of talked myself out of it. I was like, you know what? I was like, it's fine. Like, it was just a dream. Like, everything is normal. And somehow I was able to like calm myself and just think of happy thoughts and go back to sleep. And then that was it. So that was when I first had a little bit of a moment of that. That was different though, because I've never had sleep paralysis when I was already sleeping and waking up from a dream. That was kind of what really like threw me off. But I was like, you know what? Maybe it was just a bad dream. So it didn't feel as realistic, I guess, as the previous times. The following like 2 days or so, this one was,
you were lucid dreaming. That's what it says. Lucid dreaming. Yeah.
That's the one. Yes. Okay. Yeah. That was, see, and usually I've always said to myself, I was like, I always want to experience what lucid dreaming is like. It's like, I heard it's great. You can make your dreams do whatever you want.
Yeah. You want to fly, you can fly.
I was like, and that make me rich, but no. Yeah. I was not experiencing this the way that I thought it was going to happen. And I honestly probably wouldn't even want to experience that anymore. Mm-hmm. But, the second time that this happened to me was probably like 2 days after that. And this one was in the middle of the daytime. I remember during this time, like I was having trouble sleeping. I wasn't really, I don't know. It just like, I feel like a lot of things were in my mind. So it kind of affected my sleep patterns. This one, when I was coming home from work, I remember feeling tired. I was just exhausted. I remember it being like, I got up for work early. I was probably like 5 o'clock when I actually got home. And I was like, you know what? Let me take a little nap, refreshing up, a little siesta.
Yeah.
So I remember laying there, and then I was just like slowly falling asleep. And then I remember like, I was sleeping face forward, face up. So I remember my hands being like up, and I actually heard that that is something that triggers sleep paralysis a little bit easier. So your sleep positioning does affect you. So basically with your hands, like kind of almost like if you were just like splayed out, like with your like stomach up, like facing the roof, and just like hands down, just like that. So that's exactly like how we're facing is how I was sleeping in the bed. After that, I like started drifting off into sleep, but I remember hearing people walking down my sidewalk, because my room is right next to the main street. So there's always people walking their dogs. You can hear the cars. You can hear the police sirens sometimes driving by. Yeah. And so I was hearing all that. So I thought I was awake. I was like hearing all these like voices, and I hear like people like passing by. And then I remember I like turned to face lay down, like to like sleep like on my belly and like my head like this on the pillow. Like, that's when I remember like my sister was there again, but this time I didn't know that she had passed. It was like almost like it was like back at how things were before. Mm-hmm. And I remember she came in and she was talking to me. She was like, hey, oh, you're tired. Like, you don't want to play. I was like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I'm really exhausted. Like, I'll play with you in a second. Let me just take a quick nap. And she's like, okay. She's like, well, can I play with your makeup? And I was like, okay, yeah, like, go ahead. Like, do whatever you want. Yeah. And I had my whole like dresser, like filled like with all my makeup and like splayed out. So I remember hearing like products getting picked up, put down. Mm-hmm. I remember her coming and like sitting down next to me in the bed, like the bed dipping and shifting. And yeah, like I could feel like her like jumping around and like just kind of being there. And like, I remember at one point she even like jumped on my back and I was like, and I got in, like, I'm trying to sleep. Like, and she was like, oh, sorry. And like, she was just having a good time.
Yeah.
It was nice. Like, it was actually a really nice experience. But then I, out of nowhere, I remembered and I was like, wait, like, this isn't real. Like, she isn't here anymore. It's been 3 years. Yeah. As soon as I thought that, I literally felt like if I had been seeing myself, like, I would have gone white as a ghost. And like, I felt that same chills like crawl over me. And
wow,
as soon as I thought that, that figure was there in the room again, that dark presence in the corner of my room. And this time, like, I knew it was there, but I still couldn't see anything. So it was just like feeling things. And I remember, I'm getting chills like talking about this right now because I'm like, remembering how it was. And I remember it was frustrated that I had, like, I had realized that it was not real because it felt like it wanted me to stay in that moment. Mm-hmm. And then like keep me there. Like it wanted me to like experience whatever it wanted me to experience and then like make me suffer after. So at this point I'm like, okay, like I need to wake up. And I couldn't move. Like I was trying to like focus on my fingers, on my like toes, because I always heard that it's like you just start on one little thing and if you can move it, it'll bring you back to like your body, back to consciousness.
Yeah.
And so I could feel this like presence, like knowing that I was trying to wake up. Mm-hmm. And it kept like pacing back and forth, like through my room. And like, it even at one point jumped next to me on my bed and I felt it dip and like trying to like, so my head is still face down on the pillow and I could feel it trying to see my, like stare at my face to see if I would open my eyes. I could feel it there. Like, it was so creepy. It was scary. And then like, I was like, okay, like what, like how does this happen? Like what happened to my sister? And like, out of nowhere, like I remember her kind of like energy also transforming into something that was really negative too. And it wasn't her. It felt like it was an imposter. And it was like also just trying to like trick me that it was her.
Like so a demon.
Like a demon. And so at this point, I'm like, I'm close to tears. I'm like, okay, like I need to wake up. And I remember it like communicating with me. It didn't talk to me, but I can understand like what it was trying to tell me. Mm-hmm. And it was telling me, it was like, if you wake up, I'm going to destroy like the link that you have with your sister. And I was like, what? Like, how? Like, how did it even happen? I remember that it grabbed like this necklace and it was holding it in its hand. And for some reason, I've never had a necklace or anything that was given to me by her or vice versa or something that was like correlated at all. But I remember that necklace just resembled like that link. And if it broke, I wouldn't be able to have dreams with her anymore.
Okay.
And so, so I was like holding it and it was like, don't wake up. Like, I'm going to break this. And I remember I was like, at this point, I'm like crying. Like I'm bawling tears in my sleep.
In your sleep. Yes.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, if I wake up, like, am I going to be feeling the same? Like, am I going to be crying? Like visibly crying. And finally I was like, just like I was stuck. I honestly kind of almost didn't want to wake up. Cause I was like, what happens if I like do? Mm-hmm. And then like, I started slowly being able to move my fingertip. As soon as that happened, like I remember it breaking the necklace, the bad energy. And like, I remember just feeling devastated. Like I was just like, I don't know. I was sobbing, you know, when like it comes from your chest and you're just like healing,
yes.
Like that's how it felt. Like I was in so much pain and yes. I woke up crying and I was like, what just happened? Like this, I've never experienced anything like that in my life. And that really scared me beyond my wits where I was like, okay, like it just kind of, I don't know if it was like that was thinking of her or if there was maybe something more going on. And this is kind of where I started to question, I guess, like the whole paranormal thing, which I never ever really was like, okay, it's like, there has to be a logical explanation to this.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people, when they think of paranormal, they don't people who don't want to believe, they just think that a lot of it's made up or just because of a fairy tale that you to get scared as kids. But when you experience it, it puts you on a whole other level. Like you like leveled up so quick to get there. I've had dreams where something devastating's happened in my dream and I'm crying my eyes out. And when I wake up, I still have that weight of crying and I start to cry.
Yeah. Like it's like it carries over and you're just like, why? Like how?
Yeah.
And honestly, it kind of really scared me in the idea of like, what if this is like, because I'm trying to think of a logical explanation and I'm like, well, what if I'm suffering from mental health? Like, what if I'm having like episodes of schizophrenia?
Okay, yeah. Or,
yes. I was like, but I feel fine. Like, I don't, like, I'm not, like, I'm okay, I think. I'm like, do I need to see a therapist? So I was having kind of a crazy experience. And then I remember talking to my sister about this because whenever I have dreams like of this sort, I always reach out to her. And I remember at this point, this is kind of happening concurrently at the same time with my older sister. Her name is Ellen. And so she, like, after I told her, she started telling me that she was experiencing something similar and that she had been talking to one of my cousins in Mexico, Jacqueline, she's very like, super spiritual. She has experienced like seances type of thing. She'll do like, she's all about like talking, communicating with
the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And which I would never mess with. I'm like, I don't want to open that portal. But she had reached out to my older sister because she also had been having dreams of my little sister and that she hadn't been letting her sleep the whole week. She kept basically saying that she wanted something that belonged to her and she was waiting for it and that one of us had it and it was a doll or something. And I'm like, okay, like I've never given her a doll or something that she was attached to beforehand. Like we didn't bury her with anything or we didn't keep anything like that of that sort. I was like trying to figure out what it was, but I was like, I honestly don't know. Maybe my older sister had it or something. So she kind of just told me that she was having like similar dreams also while this is going on, and that she had a moment where she was, so her room, like she has a window right next to her bed on the left side and like her bed is right there. And she said that she was sleeping and she didn't say it was sleep paralysis, but it sounded a lot kind of like how I experienced it before.
Yeah.
Because she said that she was just sleeping when like she heard like a tapping on her window, like someone was knocking. I know, it was like the worst way to get waken up. And she was like, what the, like, who's like tapping my window this late? Like there should be no one out. And it's in the second floor. So it's like, no one can even tap on the window. Like no one can access it. And so she's like, she said she was still sleeping, but like that she felt like she was awake, but I think she was experiencing sleep paralysis and that she started hearing like these children voices and it was kids and they were like asking to come in. They were like, can you please let us in? Like they were like just standing there. And she was like, I know that these kids aren't alive. Like she knew that they were like dead kids, like their spirits. And she was like, no, like she, I think that woke her up as soon as she saw that even happened. And she started just doing prayers and she went off to sleep. So she told my cousin that this happened to her too. And she was like, I think something got attached from the cemetery whenever on our multiple visits there and is trying to like, it's attached to you guys. She's like, I don't know if it's to you or something that you guys have. And that's why she was saying the doll. She's like, I guess she's like, there might be a doll. Like you have to look through your rooms, find out what you have that belongs, that you probably gave to her or that you kept that is of hers. So she like ransacked her room. And I remember it was random. It was like after like I had already told her about my experience on the phone. She like, I remember her shoes stopped. She was just like, no. And I was like, what? And she was like, I'm freaking out. She's like, I need to send you a picture. So she sends me a picture and it was a picture of the window, like where she had her dream experience. And next to it was this monkey that I had given her for her birthday. But this monkey that I gave her to her at the cemetery because that's where we met. So on her birthday, I had like gone to see her and I surprised her with flowers and this monkey that it said like, I love you or something. And I remember that we took a picture and everything together there at the cemetery and I gave it to her. So she was like, I think this is it. So she took a picture, that same picture, sent it to my cousin. And she was like, that's it. That's the doll. And like, I was like, what?
Yes.
And I was like, okay, like, how, like, what, like, it's like, we never gave it to Anna Karen. Like, this is like a birthday gift to you. And she was explaining to us, she's like, what happens is that sometimes, like, you never give gifts or anything like that at the cemetery, because it's just like anything you take from there that you took in there, it's like energies get attached to it. Or they say it's like something like a entity that it's like, I don't know, like, it's just
like it goes into the actual item.
Yes. Like, it's like, it gets attached to it because it's like, yeah, kind of like a capsule. And at this point, like, she was like, you know, you have to get rid of it. Like, you have to, like, she's like, either take it to an Akkadin and give it back to her because she thinks it belongs to her, or just get rid of it. And so I was like, well, she's in San Francisco. So, and my sister is buried here in LA. So she's like, I'm going to just throw it out. And I was like, that's fine. Like, you know, it's like, it's just a monkey. It's not a big deal. Yeah. So after that happened, she didn't experience anything like that. Okay. So going back to now my experience though. So this is all within the course of a week. So when I, like, that first dream I had, yes, that first dream, that conversation happened like within the first 2 days right after.
Okay.
And then it was like midweek. It was like probably like a Wednesday or something. And I remember, I don't know what happened. I was like, it was the middle of the day and I was like drifting. Okay. This one was, I was drifting up into sleep. And I remember hearing this voice, like, cause there's kind of sometimes like, you know, homeless people or crazy people who just walk by your street.
Yeah.
And so I remember I was like laying there and I was like, I wasn't really tired, but I had been like, I think I was like just going through all my social media, just passing time.
Yes.
And I heard this voice that's on my window of this guy like ranting. Like, you know, when it's like they're just kind of like, like, you owe me money, blah, blah, blah.
And they're yelling, yes.
And I was like, dude, like, I thought he was just walking by, but it was going on for a long time. It reminded me, you know how when Kanye goes on his rant? That's literally what it reminded me of, like, Kanye voice. And I was like, okay. I was like, so this guy's probably going to just walk by soon, he'll leave. And then I remember it like going for quite a while. And then it started getting louder. And like at one point it was in my ear, like yelling, but I couldn't make out what he was saying. But I was like, how did it end up so close? Like at first it was like so far away and then it was
next to my ear. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then it was next to my ear and just kind of like, it's just, I'm like, bah, 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 like just trying to say something and make out and like send me a message, like something. And then like, as soon as I realized, I was like, this voice can't be coming from near me. And at the same time, I'm hearing the cars driving by. Like I'm hearing like the normal things, like if it's, I'm still awake. So I think I'm awake. And then out of nowhere, I'm like, this isn't real. I'm like, this isn't happening. And like, I remember it came into my mind and I was like, and I felt again, like chills instantly like drop through my whole body. And this time it started from like the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. The dark presence was in my room again. Like I could feel it there. And this time it was like coming, like it, like I felt it like walk towards me. And I remember having the like blanket like up to like my neck and it slowly started pulling the blanket back. And yes. And I like, it literally went up to my chest when I instantly was like, okay, like move your finger, like wake up. And I woke up. And my blanket was back to normal. Like I, like nothing ever happened. And I was like, okay, like
whoa.
What? Yes. I was like, what is going on? Like, this is not like something is going on. Like, I don't know what it is. And I reached out to my sister again. And I told her, I was like, it's happening again. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't have anything that belongs to her. Like, why is this happening to me too?
What happens to that necklace though? So that necklace, you're saying that you never gave her anything or she gave you. Did you actually have that necklace?
So that's what I was trying to like find out, because I mean we had little things that we had given each other, like recuerdos, you know, that we had like passed on, but nothing that we ever exchanged at the cemetery, or nothing that was given like from me to her, vice versa. So I was kind of like, I was lost, because I'm like, what why is this happening? Like I don't have anything that belongs to her. And I cleaned my room out, I did like a spring cleaning. I was like, this, like I was getting freaked out.
Where's this necklace? So
I know, I was like, what is going on? Baby. I was like, I need to go to church. So then at this point, my sister reached out to my cousin and was like, hey, like, I'll have her reach out to you. And I was kind of hesitant to kind of talk to her because I don't know, I just didn't want to delve too deep into it, because I feel like a lot of it was also psychological. And like, I feel like the more that I was like telling my family, the more I was letting it get to me and actually affect me, where I started feeling like I couldn't sleep with the lights off. I couldn't be home alone. Like I felt like, I just felt like something was watching me at all times. And I was very paranoid. And that's like nothing like me. Like, I'm usually like, it's fine. Like who's here? Like, you know, it's like, you started the living, not the dead. You know, it's always like, I'm there, like hearing. It was really like messing with me. And then I had another experience. And this one was me actually sleeping again. Like I was already in my, like in my dream. And this time I didn't actually, it wasn't really sleep paralysis. It was more of like a bad dream. And I remember I was with my group of friends and I was like, we were kind of just having like a girls' night and we're all having wine and talking and just talking about life and experiences. And I remember I was like telling them about like my childhood growing up and about my mom's car accident, which I never talk about. It's like something that was so long ago. So I feel like I kind of had already moved on from. Mm-hmm. And I remember just telling them like about everything that happened and like about the experience and just kind of how it was hard for me because I felt like I had to grow up so fast and like I didn't have my mom present for so long. And yeah. I remember like I've told that story before and it was, I've never cried through it. Like, it's almost just more of like, it happened. It's like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was telling them the story, I just felt like this intense sadness, like almost like all of the emotions, like, it's like I was reliving it. Like I was back to like 10 years old and I was like so sad. And like, I felt so like, I don't know, like, I felt almost isolated. Like I was in the room with all my friends, but I was also alone. And I felt like it was kind of just like, I went into my mind and my thoughts.
You were emotionally like, connected to that one.
Yeah. And like, I just kept like reliving the whole experience that I went through and like all the emotions and like, which is crazy. Cause even when I was going through it, I don't feel like I felt like that. So okay. I was like, what is going on? And I remember like, I just had that feeling again, like it was something else. Like it was that presence again, like managing my dream, almost like,
yeah.
Like I was like the puppet and he was the puppeteer.
Yes.
And I remember I woke up and I was crying again and I was like, okay, like this isn't normal. Or like something is going on because every experience I've had, it's tried to like, it's like, it always ends up like being a happy situation or whatever, but I end up getting very emotional and very like just drained, like emotionally drained.
Yes.
So after that, I remember I reached out to my cousin and I started talking to her and she told me, she was like, I think you have something that either belongs to an Akaran or something attached to itself. Like this isn't your sister communicating to you and don't ever think that this is her. Like that is like, if it shows itself as if it was her, this is a bad energy. She's like, this is something that's attached itself to you and your aura and it's feeding off of your negative emotions. Like it, that's like what it wants you to get to that point. And mm-hmm. I was like, well, I don't have anything. I was like, I don't know what do I need to cleanse my house? Yeah. So my sister actually sent me some Palo Santo and some sage. She was like, okay, you need to cleanse your house, girl. She's like, I'll walk you through it and like show you. And I told my roommate what was going on too, just because I didn't want to freak her out, but also I didn't want to underplay the situation because I feel like she's also Hispanic. And I don't want her to feel like it's like, okay, like what's going on, like experiences, you know, it's like, if there's something haunting going on, it's like, tell me so I can get out or so at least I'm aware of it.
Like a disclosure. Choose. Hey, by the way, you're going to hear smell some incense and some sage. It's just, you know, just cleaning out some bad energy. It's all right. You'll be fine. Go ahead. Do your laundry.
Cause I was starting to think, I was like, maybe this is really something and maybe I am being haunted and I need to like,
yeah,
this is something serious and I don't want to drag her into it. So that's something that's attached to her.
Yeah.
So, at this point I'm doing like the cleansing and stuff like that. And then I remember cleaning my room and I found this bear that belonged to my little sister. So yes. So this one, so this is where it kind of all started connecting. 2 months prior, we had like a graduation celebration for her because she was supposed to graduate from the sixth grade. So they did like this whole event at her school. And then we went to the cemetery and my older sister had gotten her this, like, you know, like those graduation teddies that have like the yes. cap and gown and yes, like, a yes. hot, like the little diploma.
And you're supposed to sign it or whatever. Yes.
Yes. But this one had like a picture frame in the middle so that it was like, and we put a picture of her. So we added that picture and we gave it to her at the cemetery, but we ended up taking it with us because the cemetery every Thursday ends up cleaning up. So they throw everything away. Yeah. So we're like, okay, we'll just take it. And my mom wanted to keep it. And I remember like my mom's a hoarder. She keeps so many things. She doesn't even know what she has in the house. So I was like, we were against it. Okay. Yes. I was like, there's no way I'm going to let her keep another. I remember like another thing, you know, it's like, no, I was like, like, we had this big argument actually at the restaurant, and she was like, I want it. I was like, no, like, actually, like, I was like, I want it. I'll keep it, you know, I'll keep it safe and I'll store it so that you actually know where it is and not lost in all your other things at home. So I was like, okay. So I took it with me and I had forgotten I had it. It was in my closet somewhere. Like, it wasn't even like visible. So that's why I just didn't even realize. And after I saw that, I told my cousin, I was like, I have this graduation bear. She's like, yes. Yeah. She's like, that's it. She was like, something attached itself from the cemetery, and it was a bad energy. And that's why you've been having these bad dreams. It's been taking over. So I was like, okay, like, what do? Do I burn it? You know, like, like, well, how do I get rid of this? Yeah. She's like, you have to burn it. She's like, you have to just get rid of it somewhere far away from your house. And that's it. And just get rid of it and then cleanse your house again. So I went, I threw it out. I threw it out in this trash can by the post office. Like, hopefully, but no one picks this up.
Make sure that's in the bear. Can you keep that, or you have to throw out everything?
No, I just threw it all away because at that point, I just felt like, I mean, I had multiple more, like, I have more pictures of her, but I was just like, I just don't want to risk it and have like this, yeah, that picture and something happens, because mm-hmm. I feel like whatever was attached to it was attached to everything. So I was like, I don't want to mess with it. So I ended up throwing it away. And after that, I started sleeping a little bit better, but I was still having nightmares. So I'm telling you, this really messed with me, like physically and mentally, because I still felt on edge. Like, I hadn't really felt, you know, when you're a kid and like you hear all these like these stories of like, oh, there's this, or like, you know, it's like you, like your family tells you like, oh, we saw your grandma, you know, even though she passed. And I never really like, I had done a good job of like growing up and just kind of being like, okay, that's not, it's not real. It's like, or maybe it did happen or you think it happened, but it's probably just like you think you saw it. It's more of like a mind thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something that you actually experienced. And like, it started messing with me because I was like, okay, like, how is it that it was so interconnected and so like, I guess, personalized and so like involved with my sister and all these experiences? Like, it wasn't like I just saw like a ghost or something. It was all kind of like interrelated, and it was multiple experiences that I experienced. So I was going through a really tough time, and I felt like on edge still for a couple of weeks. And I remember I started having these, like, I was having a lot of nightmares still. And the nightmare that I had after that kind of changed my life a little bit and like made me realize, it was weird because it was kind of a really messed up dream, but somehow it helped me. So in this dream that I had, it was me, my mom, and my older sister. And I was like house sitting for one of my friends. And it was like this huge house. It was like two stories, like 14 bedrooms, like seven bathrooms, like huge.
Jeez, let me house it.
I know. I was like, why can't I really have a friend like that?
Right?
And so... So I was like, okay, like, it was going to be for a couple, I think it was like for the weekend or something that I was house sitting. My whole family, we were like, me, my mom and my sister were all sitting up in the upstairs floor. This house was huge. It's kind of like a maze too. Like, we had like, the living room was in the very front of the house, and like, it was like, you could see the road. So it had kind of like those windows that you can like see the like everything outside, and it's huge. It's almost like the whole wall in a sense. So it was like just like all glass, but we can close the blinds. But we usually had it open just because it was summertime, so it looked nice. I remember the first thing that threw me off was standing there, like, just like by the window, and I would like hang out in the living room, and I kept seeing this car drive by multiple times. And I was like, okay, like, and it would always slow down right by the house and like try to, like, it looked like he was pretending to look at other houses like next door, but he was trying to look into our house. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, like, why is this guy driving by? I was like, maybe it's just like he is looking for a house. So it was like the first two times I was like, whatever, it's nothing. The third time, this guy like parked right and like across, like on the next to the other house across the street, but he was still trying to look inside the house. And at this point, I'm like, okay, like, this guy's trying to look into here. Like, he's trying to see something. I don't know what's going on. And I got mad. I was like, I remember like going outside and I was like, can I help you? Like, what are you looking for? Like, do you know the people who live here? Because I don't recognize you. It's like, I know everyone here. He was like, oh, no. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, no, I'm looking for this house. Like, that's it. And I was like, okay, well, clearly this isn't the house that you're looking for. So you need to leave.
Yeah.
So he ended up like driving off. And like, after that, it was just like, it just kind of made me like on edge. So I was like, you know what? Like, let me lock all the windows and lock all the doors. I remember like going and like there was so many doors and so many windows to lock. I was like, okay, let me make sure I don't forget one. And I went outside to like the backyard, the patio. I like locked all of them up. And then there was a way to go into the second floor from the backyard. So I remember like walking up the stairs and then entering like through the hallway to the second floor and like locking all the rooms too. And I remember that my friend had told me that one of the rooms is off limits. And it was like, just don't open it. Like, it's like
the red room.
So honestly, yes, it was almost like the red room because it was apparently there had been a story that someone had committed suicide in there. It was a girl. That house before was like almost like a halfway home, like slash like foster home for like people. So yeah. People would stay there. And the girl that was staying there, she like had mental health issues. And she said that she kept seeing someone in there, a girl. And she said that it was like they were trying to possess her or something, and it was like a demon. Mm-hmm. But no one really believed her because, I mean, when like nothing would have really ever happened. It was only at night. And I don't know, I guess apparently she ended up committing suicide. And ever since then, like that room was off limits and they were trying to remodel the house and who knows what, but they were just like, you know, just like for safekeeping, like we're going to remodel that room. So just don't open it. It's not ready. So yeah. Okay, but this is like, this story had happened. Like this is like almost like if like this is a very old story, like it was like the history of the home. So it was nothing like recent. Maybe I should lock that door. I was like, maybe I should lock that door in the room because I don't know. It was just like, to me, it's like, if it's locked, it can't get out or whatever the case is. And also I didn't really believe it. I was like, you know, if they pass, they pass. Like it's mm-hmm. not gonna like happen. And this is like 11 PM at night. I was like, I think I'm okay. You know, my mom is in the hall. My sister's in the other room, also down the hall. Mm-hmm. So I remember like standing in the front of the door and I was like contemplating. I'm like, okay, maybe this is a bad idea. Like maybe I shouldn't do this. I was like, you know what? No. I was like, just open it and like lock it. You'll be fine. Like it'll be dark. So I opened the door. I'm getting chills because I remember this so vividly too. So I opened the door slowly and I remember the light being on. Like, and I was like, what the heck? I was like, why is the light on? Like this shouldn't be on. And like it slowly like creeps open and it opens all the way. And it was like straight out of a horror movie. Like there was like a possessed girl. Like, it was a girl that had died. And then like another, like it reminded me of like what The Grudge looks like with the like mixed with the nun, like from the movie, like from The Conjuring. Yeah. Like I just like a really horrible sight of like two women just standing there.
Yeah.
And like I felt like this like gravitational pull, like pulling me inside. Like it wanted me to come in and like, I couldn't stop it. Like it was like out of nowhere. I was inside of the room and like, it was like, it wanted me to like stay there. And I was like, what the heck is going on? I was like, at first I was like scared, like witless. I was like, what do? I can't move. Like I'm frozen. You know what? Like out of nowhere, like my mind switched and I was like, I think I was just exhausted from what I had just been through for like the last week and a half that I was like, no, I was like, I already went through too much. Like I am not going to let this happen to me again. And I got this, like, I was still scared, but I got this like this incredible amount of anger in me. And I was like, uh-uh. I was like, you guys can haunt whoever you want, but you're not going to haunt me. I was like, I'm going to get out of this room. I was like, you guys can stay here. I don't care what you do. I was like, this is your room if you want it, but it ain't me. I was like, I'm not going to believe it. Yes, I was like, uh-uh. So I like locked the door, walk out, and I was like, what just happened? I like yelled for my mom and my sister. I was like, Mom, like I was like, I didn't like want to scare them, so I kind of kept it like down. I was like something was in there. Like I was like, just don't go in that room, or just leave it alone. Like, and that's it. I was like, but and don't even walk by it. I was like, just ignore it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. They're like you're tripping. I was like, no, I'm not. I was like, but if you like, whatever. If you want to check it out tomorrow in the morning, we could check it out. So then, like, I remember feeling kind of like happy because I was like, damn, how did I get so angry? And I was like, this is not happening. And like, just literally walked out of there because they wanted like my soul. And I think I was just like, what? Like, like what is going on here? Like, I guess not this girl. So the next morning, I remember like going and checking the house just to make sure that no one broke in and like doing the normal roundup. And it was like broad daylight. It was like probably like 11 a.m. like after breakfast. And I was talking to my sister and my mom again. And I was explaining to them like exactly what I saw because it was really short when I had told them the night before. And so they were like, okay, like, well, let's go check it. Like, it's like a day, it's daylight. Like, nothing's gonna like be there. So we go like up the stairs and open the door. They're right there. And there's an upside down cross. And they were like, why? Like, they were like shocked. And I was like, I told you. I was like, I told you it was there. Like, at this point, there was like no fear. I was like, I just went and I was like, close the door for them.
You but, see?
Like, yeah. they were shut. They were scared out of their wits. But I was like, nah. I was like, come on, nah, let's go. And I remember like waking up from the dream and being like, what the heck just happened? Like, I have never experienced something like that where it's like, it kind of turned funny to me. I felt like it was almost more of like a subconscious like feeling where I don't know. I feel like I had a lot of things get into my head and I had like been feeling a very like paranoid and really scared and just very into like all these like, well, what if there is something there? What if like I am like, you know, it's like spirits and like ghosts and all this stuff. And that dream actually made me realize that like it had a meaning behind it, that it was trying to tell me that it's like, you're gonna have moments where you're scared or where you're feeling something, but at the end of the day, it's like you can, it's a psychological thing. Like you can let it happen to you and let it, you know, like scare you and cripple you and like get you down. And in a sense, it's almost like it wants you to like become like this, like, it's like almost like it makes you more susceptible to other things and like to more like negativity when you get into that mental state where it's like, well, something's haunting me, something's happening to
you. You're allowing it to consume you. Yes. Yeah.
You're opening it more, like opening those doors more because you're yes. thinking about it. It felt like a representation saying, if you allow it, like it's going to take you. But if you don't and you like stand strong and just kind of like ignore it, the same thing where it's like, be scared of the living, not the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, you'll get out of it and you won't let it affect like your living life. And so after that, I was actually able to sleep better and everything kind of calmed down. And like, it almost felt like I was at peace again. It was really, really crazy. That whole experience overall.
Girl,
it was
yeah.
a lot.
All in a week?
I felt like it was almost like, it was like a movie unfolding. It was like the past like 4 years was like the preface and all that and like the building the story and
yeah,
then that whole week
like
and a half.
A roller coaster of emotions, like different phases, but still having the dark entity there, allowing it to just, you know, have its presence, but you have that control.
Exactly. And I feel like after that too, because it didn't help that my family was like, they knew about it because they were kind of the ones that were feeding a little bit more into it too. Because then my sister, like I told you, my cousin is very into the other side. And she had told me that at this point I had already moved back home with my parents. And she had told me that because when I was younger in this house, I've experienced a lot of paranormal things too. And we always were like kind of skeptical about what was going on in our house. And we would do a lot of cleanses. And my cousin told me that there was a portal in the room I'm sleeping in my closet.
Oh my God.
That is a bridge to like us in the spiritual world.
Yeah.
And there's also one in my old room when I was younger by the window, which is actually where I've experienced a lot of things too. But mm-hmm. at that point, like, I feel like that didn't help me because I kept like thinking of all these like things. I was like, well, maybe there was something else, but I don't know. Like if anything, it actually changed my mind and I started looking at it into more of a logical sense. And it scared me more in the sense of mental health, just because I feel like that whole time that I was experiencing that sleep paralysis, it felt so vivid and it felt so real to this day. Like, I don't know, like maybe it was like real on a different level or like maybe I felt these things, but I feel like it's like if that's, you know, just a dream that I felt like I was actually experiencing it in my like wakeful life. Imagine people who are going through like schizophrenia or who have like suffer from all these like mental like health like disorders and like when they get older too, it's like you can become more prone to it. And I have a history in my family of like of mental health issues of schizophrenia and Alzheimer's. I was like, you know, like this kind of made me do a little bit more research and just kind of be more a little bit smarter about like my like life habits and like my health and also just like sleeping habits. Which I actually mm-hmm. listened to this Joe Rogan podcast that was really good, and mm-hmm. I learned a lot about from this neurologist. And a lot of it is about sleeping. It's like just taking care of like you. That's when your brain recuperates, like, you know, it regenerates yeah. all the cells. And I was like, you know what? Like, I need to start making sure that I sleep more. Because you know how when you're young, they're like, oh, it's fine. You can sleep when you're dead. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
So it was a crazy experience, but it was definitely something that was eye-opening for me in the sense that it's like I couldn't let myself get lost into like very spiritual things. and also just very like more focused on my mental health and just like sleeping. I make sure I sleep my 8 hours a day. I put my sleep timer on my phone. I'm like, bedtime. Okay, it's past my bedtime. I gotta go to sleep. And if I'm late, I'm like, I gotta sleep my 8 hours. Like, I can't. Like,
yeah. That's so insane that you had multiple experiences and with a time period of having it so close back to back. Now, aside from you now having more control of your dreams, do you ever have sleep paralysis now?
I haven't experienced it since then. I kind of take precautions so that I don't, because after that, I really, really went in depth into more of like the, I guess, like the science behind it of why it happens and like kind of like, and it's usually like caused by extreme fatigue or extreme exhaustion. And like I said, like when you sleep in like facing up, like with your belly up, that usually triggers it. So I make sure not to fall asleep in that position. I'll make sure that it's like, when I'm tired, I go to sleep. So I've been very preventative, and I feel like that experience itself too kind of taught me how to get out of it. If I am like,
I'm more expert with lucid dreaming.
Yes, I know. Yes. Like I know. And I would also like, my go-to is moving my finger. Like when I'm sleeping, I would just like literally just like shift one of my fingers. And if I feel like it's coming on, that has helped me just to prevent it from happening. So since then, nothing. So, and hopefully no more.
yeah. No, you're going to have more control of anything. In doing all your dreams, I'm gonna actually try practicing moving my fingers and toes.
Like when you're drifting off to sleep, just to make sure you're not paralyzed from your body.
Right?
So my chiropractor tells me to sleep on my back, and my mind is like, no, I cannot sleep like that. I know, but honestly though, like I think that experience overall too, it was much needed, because it's weird because, you know, something that I kind of correlated to was that since when I turned 18 is when I kind of started having sleep issues. Like before, I grew up like with my mom blasting music on their stereo and I would fall asleep like with the TV running.
Yeah.
Yes, like so much noise. And ever since these experiences started happening to me, I feel like I've been a light sleeper and it's difficult for me to sleep. Like any sound kind of like wakes me up.
That's how I am.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's because I'm still on edge or what it is, but it's just like, if I literally hear like the window closing outside, like, I'll wake up and I'm like, great. Like, so it's difficult to sleep.
You're more aware.
And also in a way, like it made me kind of want to get more, cause I've been seeing like a neurologist too, just because of other things that I've been having trouble sleeping, and I've been suffering from, vertigo.
Yes.
I've been having really bad vertigo, which has been happening to me too, like since all of this, and not from the very beginning, but since those dreams.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, maybe it is something going on. Like that's like more of like a different like aspect.
Like an imbalance somewhere?
Yeah, I think so. But I don't know. I mean, it could be it could be explained by science, or it could be something supernatural. Maybe even it could be something, you know how they say like when your inhibitions are low, it's kind of like, you know how they say it's like dimensions, like where it's like, okay, like, you know, we're this one. And then maybe like spirits and like all the people who have passed in a different dimension or so forth, that we just can't see them, they're not visible to our eye. And maybe when you're sleeping, you know, it's like your inhibitions are low and you can slide into this like dimension with little portals.
Even then, they say people who believe in the other side or the paranormal, the spiritual world, whatever you want to label it as, during the time periods where it's most active is around 2, 3 o'clock, possibly 4 o'clock. So when you do happen to wake up, they could be in your room. They could be just in passing. Who knows what it is? Have you ever thought about going to someone to see if you do need like a cleansing or a blessing at all?
So yes. So I, as far as like in my house, like the cleansing, the blessing, like I usually just do it myself.
Yeah.
But I thought of like having, so in Mexico, my aunt, she goes to, he's like a shaman, I guess you can say, and he does a lot of cleansing. So she'll take a picture of us and she'll go do a cleansing. So she did one for me actually.
Oh, you don't even have to be present.
No. And I've been to this guy before, so he knows me because I had gone when I went to go visit my family previously.
Yeah.
So he'll do like cleanses here and there. And like whenever I feel like things are just kind of happening again or something's going on, like she'll go and she'll do the cleansing for me. But I don't know. I feel like in a sense too, I don't want to be like, buying into it either with the whole cleansing, because then it's like, in a sense,
allowing it to consume you. Yes.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Because then it's like almost like I'm accepting that something can help me through it. Like that's spiritual. So it's like almost like I'm accepting that it's also negative spirit.
You're allowing the facts to be facts and also the paranormal to have that balance too. But you want to be the one who makes that decision versus allowing someone else to make it on your behalf.
Exactly. And so that's why I've kind of taken the more psychological route and like the more like kind of like science behind it, and just trying to make sure that I guess I'm being healthy so that it doesn't, even avoiding certain foods that make you have like bad dreams or whatever. Like,
yeah, you know.
Yeah, no, but I think it's definitely been, I mean, I try to avoid telling my family though, because they're the ones who are very like, something's going on, like, and they have always had this like idea and superstition that there's like a curse on the family, or there's something that is like always been haunting us and like following us, because everyone in my family has had like supernatural experiences and so forth. But it's just also, it's like, you know, at one point it's okay, like what is really like real, or is it, are we just feeding into the curse and like we're just like this, we're just thinking that this is happening to us and we're blaming like normal things on these kind of these circumstances that are happening to us. But right. I've always been the very like, nah, it's not true. Like, oh, that shadow, there, it must have been the light or something. But this definitely made me question that. It made me like, I was about to start like, maybe I should become a nun. But I'm doing good though. So I feel like even just a sage, I do believe in energy. That's the one thing I do believe. And that's the one thing that I feel like did help me out a lot. So I do frequent cleansing too in there.
Well, I want to thank you for joining me and being my first official guest. I appreciate your story. To all our listeners, Martha is a good friend. I've known her for a few years. She definitely believes. She's a believer. But she also believes in what can you do for yourself. She's a definite motivator, and I want you to make sure that you're aware of that. Paranormal can be fun if you allow it to be to a certain capacity. If you want it to consume you, you're more than welcome to. No one's saying that you don't have that. You're not obligated to. Know that there is another side to it. And hopefully these stories that she shared with you, her actual life experiences, gave you a little shiver, a quiver, a something, tingle.
It sure gave me one. I was telling you. Thank you, Jean, though. I appreciate you having me on your podcast.
Hey everyone, it's me, Crystal. I'm coming on here to close out this episode. I'm sorry it was a little rough. We had some issues with the files. I did the best I can, and I just finished editing it, and I am spooked. This was the scariest story I've heard. This was Nicole's friend, Martha, and I am scared. What she went through was so frightening. If you guys want to come onto our show and share your story with the world, please let us know. You can hit us up on Instagram at Las Brujas Podcast or on Twitter at Brujas Podcast. You can also email us at lasbrujasandfriends@gmail.com. If you guys have any feedback, suggestions, you want us to look something up so that we can talk about it on the show, let us know. But this wraps up this episode. Please don't forget to subscribe, and we will see you guys next week. Bye.